Welcome to Overwhelming Joy. Are you glowing, growing, or don't know where you're going? Well, you've come to the right place. Together as daughters of the King of Kings, our highest privilege is to faithfully commune with God and humbly walk in obedience to His truth as He reveals Himself to us in His Word. I'm Paulette, and thank you for joining me today. Pull up your chair, Bible, and journal, and pour yourself a cup of joy. Thanks for joining us at Table Talk. I'm here with my daughter, Madison.
Hello.
And we're so glad you tuned in. Just as a recap of our last podcast, we were talking about that we need to stay in a posture of receiving His will, His way, in His time, and that we are to open-handedly give Him our how and keep our finger pointed up toward heaven and just pursue Him the who. The more we know about Him, the less anything else matters. And we gave you a little homework assignment to read ahead and study Isaiah 66:2. So, Madison, do you have Isaiah 66:2, and would you read that for us?
Mm-hmm. Isaiah 66:2. All these things my hand has made, and so all these things came to be, declares the Lord. But this is the one to whom I will look, he who is humble and contrite in spirit and trembles at my word.
It's always important that we look at who wrote that verse and what the context is for that period in history and that time. So let's just stop for a minute and kind of look at Isaiah. Isaiah, son of Amos, was the writer of this major prophet in the 8th century BC, and a key theme is that the future plan of the Lord in these chapters, 54 through 66, because I like to isolate the exact chapter that we're reading from, is that God offers His salvation freely to us, and He holds out hope for each of us unrepentant souls. So God is offering free salvation to each of us to spend eternity with Him. All we have to do is repent and ask Jesus Christ, His Son, into our hearts and believe, trust, have faith. And so Isaiah is calling to faithful believers to persevere, and in that perseverance, spread God's glorious message to all His children, because we might be the catalyst for someone else to come to Jesus. And so Isaiah is just calling all believers to come back to purity, to come back to the love of the Lord their God, to put Him first. And we have been given that opportunity to pursue Him daily, know Him more and more and more, and allow Him to change us from the inside out so that we have that outpouring of Him, that overwhelming joy, and just maybe that is the witness that someone else needs to see. That how, despite your now and your present circumstances and situation, can you still give all the glory to God? And how can He be your hope when there may not be any hope here? So we're so excited to look at Isaiah 66:2, and just to isolate the first part of it, where God is declaring that He is looking for someone who is humble of character. So, Maddie, I'm going to just open it up to you to see if there's anything you are willing to share in your now about how you are, God is working through you to keep you humble, but offering you hope.
Sure. I'm going to share a little personal story, testimony, I don't know. When I was looking up Isaiah 66:2, and specifically the word humble, it brought me to James 4. And then as I'm continuing to look, it also brought me to Isaiah 8 and 9. So I'll read a couple and then talk through some of the things that in my now. So Isaiah 55:8-9 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." So what a way to keep us humble, that his thoughts are, let's just say, better. And we don't need to worry about everything going on. So God is keeping me humble. If you don't personally know me, I will just say in one word, I'm pretty competitive. I am an achiever. If you've ever done personality tests, I'm an achiever. I like to be the best at things. I try my hardest and can be very disciplined to do the best, which can then create some pride because I do feel the best. So as I've grown into adulthood, I've learned that you can be your best without feeling like the best, right? You can work with all your heart at something and not exactly feel that pride, besides just you're proud of what you've done. But lately, so Mickey's four, and lately something that I have been struggling with is the achieving idea that after you get married and you have a kid, you should then have another kid. And it's something that has been very unexpected for me, that would be something that I'm struggling with. After 4 years, sometimes I look and I'm like, our family is so beautiful and so perfect. But then, you know, the world, all your friends are having kids, whatever. Thoughts just pop into your head like, you're doing this wrong. You should have another kid. Why aren't you having another kid? What's going on? You know, and all the things. Should you do, go to the doctor for fertility stuff? Should you adopt? Should you quit? Should you blah, blah, blah? You know, you guys know. The world is just, thoughts just pop into your head all the time. So as I'm thinking about this verse and walking humbly, that idea just popped into my mind lately. What I've been doing to combat that and know that whatever is true and coming from God will prevail, and whatever is not true and coming from the devil, I need to be far away from, is just get away from that world. So I have cut off my social media. It just seems like a inevitable practice for me in this day and age. That's where I'm getting the most worldly news, the most things that say, you know, everybody else is doing this, you're behind, you should do that. That's just something personally for me that invites those thoughts and those comparisons. Giving space and just spending more time with my family, I have had way less thoughts about what's wrong with my family and any next steps that we should have. I'm enjoying more time with them. When I do have a thought or something, I immediately turn that to gratitude. I'm so thankful for Mickey. I'm so thankful for my husband. I am thankful for what I have. And if that doesn't nip it in the bud, then yeah, I give it some space and thought. I can say to God, I'm really struggling right now. I don't know what's happening. Like, I don't know why I'm feeling this. But turning that and going back to scripture, sometimes when we look at the Bible, people want to turn to the New Testament because it's easier to read. It's obviously about Jesus, and it's very applicable. The Old Testament is so important, though. So I love that we're doing Isaiah 66. It's so important to know the Old Testament, because a lot of the New Testament, you know, anchors back to the Old Testament. So that being said, sometimes the Old Testament seems out of place because their way of life was so different and they didn't have Jesus. and they didn't have the Holy Spirit the way we know them today. So looking at the context of the Old Testament, and then like I looked up humble and I read it in Isaiah, but then I also am going to the New Testament, sometimes helps me create a whole picture of that word and what it means and what we can do about it. So I also looked at humble in James 4, and I'm going to read 6 through 10. This chapter says it's a warning against worldliness, which is exactly what I've been going through, is just blocking out the world and being more centered on God, which has helped me. Verse 6 says, "But he gives more grace. Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you." And what that means to me, it gives me some steps of how I can walk humbly. He says, submit to God. He says, resist the devil. So taking out those practices that are not bringing you closer to him and putting in those practices that will bring you closer to him. And he says, draw near to God, whether that's worship, having a community, reading your Bible, praying, and then cleanse your hands and your heart. Be sorrowful for your sins. So, yeah, I don't do everything right. I'm sorry, God. And then asking him to forgive you and be humble that he's in control. So those are some things that in my now, he is humbling me mm-hmm. as a achiever and a competitor in life. Sometimes I always want to be the best. It's just, we just can't compare to other people and their life. And, you know, the American dream of having the white picket fence mm-hmm. and the three kids and the dog and the husband isn't for everybody. And this mm-hmm. world is unfair and this world is broken and we don't know what's going on. So he humbles me in that way of like, you can't be too proud. Your plans don't always go the way you plan, or the world's plans aren't always mm-hmm. my plans, right? How he said, your thoughts are not my thoughts. Your ways are not my ways. And then James gives us specific things that we can do to combat that. Submit to God, resist the devil, draw near to God, cleanse yourself. Like, those are very applicable steps that I can take when I'm wondering what to do and I'm still wanting to be humble.
That's beautiful. Maddie, thank you for being so vulnerable and sharing, because I know that's a story for someone else's now as well, not just yours. And I know that's why God allows us to walk through certain tribulations. I truly believe it's because we can't speak from something we aren't experiencing or haven't experienced. So your experience is a blessing for someone else's now as well. So thank you for that. I love you so. Okay, let's pivot to a little funny comparison of her son. She mentioned how competitive she is, which she's not lying, y'all. From about the age 4 on, we shortened her Madison to Mad Dog. Her middle name starts with a D, Madison Delaney, named after my father-in-law's mother. And we would just start calling her Mad Dog because, like, she was fierce from the get-go. Like, her little brother, who's only 11 months behind her, was like scared of his sister. I mean, she was fierce. Anyway, so she and Grady have this beautiful 4-year-old Mickey, and her husband is quite the competitor as well. In fact, when they first started dating, I started realizing, wow, they are so alike in some situations, but then they are very different. But I'm like, yikes, that. Oh, okay. Yeah, that may come back to haunt you in your offspring. Anyway, so I have had the unique joy and pleasure that is very rare to have basically been able to nanny, watch, raise, Lolly, my grandson since birth, for them to both be working. And so one thing I was able to do for a season was I took him to Little Gym, wonderful play experience with gymnastics. And he is very athletically inclined based on his genes from his mom and dad. And so it was never difficult for him to do any of the apparatuses. He wouldn't even look like he was paying attention. You know, the teachers would be giving instructions. He's not looking. He's not acting up, but he's just sitting there like he's not paying attention. And then when it was time for them to line up and do it, he could do it like fabulously. And so then their mouths are agape, like, oh my goodness, I didn't even know he was tracking with us, and he can do it all. So it came very easily to him, his strength for size. And so then at like a semester, they have kind of like an awards ceremony. It's just for participation, and parents are invited to come, and it's an opportunity for you to see all the different apparatuses and skills that they have been introducing to the child. The child can pick which apparatus and skill to demonstrate. Then they walk up on a little podium, like an Olympic podium, with the higher and the two lower, and they are all awarded the same ribbon, and there's a photo opportunity, and yay, everybody goes home happy. It's so productive for you to basically take pride in what you've been paying for your kid to learn. So we go, and his mom and dad are able to come and watch this. So Mickey does his apparatuses. He does them fabulously, beautifully, easily. Then we're all sitting down on the big mat where it's time for them to walk up and get their ribbon. And the first kid walks up, steps up on the box. Teacher comes up to award the ribbon. Parent comes up for the photo op. And Mickey automatically like freaks out and says, I'm not doing that. I'm not going up there. I'm not doing that. I'm not going up there. So at first, Maddie and I think it's just kind of like fear, like he's got a fear of public speaking or a fear of being in front of people, which honestly, if you know him, you know that's not true. He'll talk to anybody, anywhere. He's very outgoing and personable. So then you're like, well, why not? And so he looks and says, because the ribbon's not right. And I said, what do you mean the ribbon's not right? He says, the winner ribbon for first place should be blue. And the ribbons were yellow because it was a participation ribbon for everyone. There were not winners and losers. It was just showing that you had participated and you had played your role. But I mean, he was not going up there, y'all. Right, Maddie? Mm-hmm. He started crying. He was not going up there. And it just, that imagery came back to mind about this word humble. Because what it reminded me of is we are all that. In our carnality, in our humanness, we are all, if you're very vulnerably, authentically honest with yourself, we are all Mickey. Mm-hmm. We are all Mickey. We all desire recognition for something. We want to be seen. We want to be known. We want to be heard. I don't want to just serve at church. I want someone to say, thank you for serving. I don't want to just lead a small group or, play my part in an outreach ministry. I want somehow for someone to say, couldn't have done it without you, or wow, we sure missed you today, or just checking on you to see if you're okay. Yeah. That's really our authentic truth self. We, not that we maybe need this huge channel news recognition like that, but there is something within our DNA that wants to be seen and known. And that is because in our human form, we are born pride, ego. We are born with our own ability of get it done, be strong. And that's the devil's way of keeping us from this verse, declaring the Lord, this is the one to whom I will look, he, she, who is humble. So we're going to stop right there and just talk today about then what does it really mean to be humble and how do I walk humbly when that's everything against my DNA human fiber is to be everything but humble. So the first thing that we want to just model for you is that we always just want to study the word humble. So if you look in just the literal dictionary definition, humble is submissive, surrendered, to destroy the power of. Ooh, now we're getting into like transformers and superheroes and destroying. Who are we being asked to destroy the power of? Ourselves. He wants us to realize, and I'm speaking of God here, God wants us to realize we have no power. And if we remain depleted of any power over ourselves and our lives, and we just open-handedly surrender our day to Him, just go day by day. If we just surrender today, then He, in the spiritual definition, Ani, A-N-I, we can be victorious in our Lord and King, because we can remain lowly. Or you may see the word in scripture, wretched. Or when you think of poor and afflicted, it doesn't mean that we are, you know, beating ourselves up. And it doesn't mean that, like a physical. And it doesn't mean financial. It means power. If you look at yourself on a power ladder with others, and for sure with God, are you okay to deny yourself? Matthew 16, 24, 25, Jesus says, deny yourself. Mark 10, 35 and 45 says, when you pray, you don't even know what you're asking. You don't even have a big enough picture. So when, like what Madison so transparently, vulnerably, humbly laid before us here is, I desire, if it is so your will, to have another child in our family. And God is saying, you don't even know what you're asking yet. You don't even know what blessings I have given you or blessings to come. So I'm not denying you that. I am saying, I've got the whole picture. You don't. So just trust my wholeness. Trust my whole picture for you. And don't give up on me. Don't begin to be unfaithful. Just keep walking one foot in front of the other, and just love me more and read my scriptures more, which is what she's doing, tuning out the world and tuning more into Him. And that's all He says to do, is just, I know you don't understand. I'm not giving you the cliff notes. I'm not giving you the cheat sheet. I know you're not with me right here, but just trust in the Lord your God. Just walk humbly. Just keep walking humbly. Let's look at Isaiah 66, 1 that precedes verse 66, 2. Because in an earlier episode, Madison showed us how sometimes we just isolate one verse and we don't read ahead or we don't read behind. So let's look at Isaiah 66, verse 1. And this says, thus says the Lord. Now again, when a good writer of the Bible writes things, that's a major credible thing to read. But when the Lord says it and it's in quotes, or Jesus said it, okay, y'all, stop, look, listen. So thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. What is the house that you would build for me, and what is the place of my rest? So if we just stop right there with that verse, it's basically the Jerusalem temples were being built, and they were being very prideful in how that was going to look and how massive it was going to be and how glamorous. And basically what our God, Lord, Creator is saying is, you cannot wall me in. You cannot control me. There's not a temple in Jerusalem, or there's not a church today, little C church, that can control or contain me. I am not for your pleasure. And then the thing that comes to me is, we love Disney movies. I'm thinking Aladdin and the lamp. You know, so you find this lamp. It's beautiful, glorious, and gold. But what do you want to do? Rub the lamp, rub the lamp. And then you want this, genie and the three wishes. And okay, wait, I don't know all my wishes right now, so let me get one. Let me put you back in. Let me put the cap back on you. I have done that with God. I have done that with God. I've like opened my word. I've gone to church and I'm like, I just need this. I just need this. I just need this. it doesn't happen. And I'm like, whoa, wait now, God. You said, and he's like, what are you doing? You cannot wall me in. You cannot control me. I am greater than the institution I have authorized, and I will not be manipulated. Mm-hmm. And Charles Swindoll says, a strong-hearted person who is humble is a rare combination that God greatly uses. He's just waiting for us to come to him and say, you know what? I don't have it all going on. In fact, I don't have much, but I have you as my Lord and Savior. I have your Spirit as my guide. You created me for something. I'm just going to read your word and dwell on your truth until you guide me, inspire me, reveal yourself to me, lead me, open doors, close windows, slam doors. I just am going to walk. I'm going to one foot in front of the other, walk humbly of attitude, put myself last, and just give you the platform, the floor, just give you my everything. Mm-hmm. And then that also makes me think of my husband and I worked at a camp. All three of our kids attended that camp, and then they even counselored at that camp. And one of their greatest persistent things that they attempted to teach any and all of the campers was, it was called FIT. And I'm going to let Madison tell us a little bit more about what FIT and the FIT Award was and what that meant.
Yeah, let's take it back a little bit. I was young, like my sister is 4 years older than me. So when I attended camp, she was older, more mature. Honestly, she's just a more humble person in general. So she, I think, probably got it every year. So seeing, it's a really cool armband. Whatever your team that you have, it's gold stripes and then your team color in the middle. Okay, so it looks really cool. And then everyone else just gets like their color, no gold. So let's back it up. So you see these people going up on the stage getting this really cool gold armband. And you're wondering, what is that about? And as a little kid, I saw my sister Hillary get those. And I'm like, I am getting that.
And her daddy had gotten one.
Not even really knowing what it was. Then you realize it's the FIT Award, F-I-T, which means first is third. So this is a athletic activity camp. So you do compete against your team. You want to win, you know, over the weeks and stuff. It's fun, but it is competitive, and you can get awards for being like a good athlete or being what it, you know, whatever it is. And this specific award is if you were humble, first is third. If you put everyone else, if you were that servant leader, mm-hmm. you know, just like Jesus washing other people's feet, if you cleaned up in the mess hall, if you helped clean up a mess in your cabin, if you're encouraging all the other girls, you're sitting on the sideline and still cheering them on, giving them water, you're that servant leader. You're doing the best in your activities, but you're doing more for others. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it goes back to that verse that, and the ultimate command that we should love the Lord God and then love others and then ourselves. So, FIT Award. So, I did eventually get this award. But it took a while for me to realize, just being competitive, that you can't just do it by being the best. It's about a heart change, and you have to really put yourselves under others and not in a, you know, a dog yourself. I'm the worst. I'm, you know, not a self-defeating way. You're proud. You're proud. And like Jesus, he was proud of who he was and his legacy and everything that he had. But he was also very humble because he served everyone around him. He did the dirty work. He did the things that nobody else wanted to do. He talked to the people no one else wanted to talk to. So, you know, it's a camp. So it didn't entail all of that stuff, but it did make at least me personally think about that. And when I took that back, it's still in my testimony as one of my things that I share. You should love him first and then others and then yourselves. And the ultimate way to being a living temple for God is knowing your place and knowing that he is first. And no matter where you are or where you're at, you can help others around you.
Mm-hmm. That's so good. Let's look at Isaiah 64:8. But now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are our potter. We are all the work of your hand. So I'm pretty sure you probably have heard that analogy of that we are the clay and God is the potter and he molds us. So it is a image of surrender. And so one of the things I was thinking of when I was thinking of humble is, okay, now think about it. We're lumps of clay. We are lumps of clay. Mm-hmm. There is no room for pride in the lump of clay. The potter molding us slowly but surely to where at the beginning, when you start seeing a potter mold clay, you don't initially understand what it's going to turn into. Mm-hmm. A plate, a basin, a vase, a jar, a pitcher. Well, you don't know. They could be making it into a statue. I mean, you don't know it. A horse. At the beginning, you're just kind of like, ooh, I'm going to watch this. But in our lives, we don't want to give that potter that space. We don't want to get the pushing and the prodding. We don't want to wait and let him re-wet his hands and come back and form us. We're like, we want it now. We want it yesterday. We want it revealed to us. We'd like a PowerPoint presentation. You know, we want to know, bring us all the graphs and the grids and tell us this is what it's going to look like. This is how long it's going to take. And then maybe we'll stick with it. No, there is no room for pride in our lump of clay life. We are nothing without him. We can go on and try to form ourselves. Mm-hmm. He's going to slap us back down on the middle of that potter wheel and go, well, you just wasted your time. Let's start again. Mm-hmm. And we're like, what? Look what I had. Oh, pronoun wrong. Look what I. So just a reminder again to all of us in this verse that there is hope in humility, because that's what the Lord is looking for. He is looking for those who can keep a humble hope. Matthew Henry writes, whatever men put in the place of the priesthood of Christ will be found hateful to God. Wow, think about that. That spoke to me with my priorities. Whatever men put in the place of the priesthood of Christ will be found hateful to God. So if you are on the gerbil wheel of job, relationship, children, finances, work, 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 rewards, work, rewards, get off the wheel. Mm-hmm. And do whatever you need to get yourself off the wheel. Mm-hmm. Cry out, reach your hand out, grab a hold of somebody and say, get me off the wheel. The world will keep us spinning. The world will keep us spinning. And God hates the fact that we are putting anything above him, even if it looks like it's for good. Mm-hmm. Like, well, I want a different job to have a different platform for him more. He'll give it to us when he's ready for it. I want another child. He'll give it to us if and when we're ready for it, or in a different way than we thought. Well, I want a relationship. I want a spouse. He'll give it to us when he knows that spouse won't become a priority for us and take the place of him. Well, I want, again, our pronoun I am a big journaler. So when I am journaling and I realize that most of what I'm writing down is I want, I need, I want, I need, mm-hmm. then I realize, whoa, 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 pronoun check. My journaling should be you, your, and then it can motivate and move me. It can convict me, which it always does first, and conform me. It has to get a renewal from me so that I can have a result for him. And another part of my verse mapping and truth journaling is what I call the walk it out section, where I hold myself accountable for how this verse, I mean, I may be in a verse for a month, I may be in a verse for weeks, but at some point, if I do not request from the Holy Spirit and allow myself in a state of humility to be moved and changed by that truth, then I'm just reading. Mm-hmm. I'm just reading. I could be reading Hank the Hound Dog. I'm just reading. Mickey's into Magic Treehouse at the moment. Okay, so those are all fun and good. That is not the Word of God. Mm-hmm. The Word of God isn't just fun and good. It should change us because mm-hmm. it's living, breathing, active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It is to cut through to us and renew us. So what I literally do is I write down on a piece of paper, mind, emotions, actions, and I am releasing myself in humility to receive from the Holy Spirit. How should the truth of this verse call me to change my thoughts and my beliefs? How are the truths from this verse calling me to change my emotions and my affections? Because is the love of God first? If it's not, call me out on it. Mm-hmm. What do I have before him? Ooh, I need to reorganize that. And then how is this verse and these truths from this verse changing the words that I'm going to say out of my mouth and the actions and the things that I'm going to do? Because if I'm not going to allow the Word of God to change me, then I am no different than when I began reading and studying the Word of God. Mm-hmm. And the whole thing God has called over all of our lives is that from birth to him calling us home, do we look more like Christ and less like self? Because when Mickey is 96, if he is still worried about what color the ribbon is, then Maddie and I, we have some forgiveness to ask mm-hmm. God for. If we can somehow not help that boy first come to know Jesus Christ as his personal Savior, that awareness that he is a sinner and he needs Jesus, which we've all been there, and that we somehow don't help him progress through that whole lifeline of humility, mm-hmm. less like self and more like God, mm-hmm. so that at some point he can say, it's not about the color of the ribbon. Mm-hmm. It's not even about the gold fit band.
Right.
It's about, does my life, my actions, my thoughts, my words bring glory, honor, and praise to my King? Mm-hmm. That's our goal for self. Yeah. And it's the goal yeah. for both of my grandchildren.
And it doesn't matter worldly success or accolations or prizes that you get. I mean, we are looking for that good and faithful servant
yes.
that when God calls us home, that he that's what he says. I think about Jesus, and he's obviously a great answer for everything, but in the question, how do I walk humbly, be like Jesus? I mean, he was the earthly example for a perfect life, mm-hmm. a life that was had temptations, had so many struggles, filled with sacrifice, but he was God himself, and he lived this life and did it perfectly. So I think about all the times he cried out, all the times that he helped others, but then all the times that he said, no, I need a break. I need to rest. Mm-hmm. I need to be with my Father. And so in your life and our lives, we have to make changes. We need to have that time, those boundaries. This is my Father's time. This is his time. And then we need to have times where we're helping the world and pouring out to others. One thing that I thought of going through humbleness in Jesus's last moments, he's in the garden And he knows exactly what's going to happen. And he loves us so much that he will do it. But he also voices his concern to his Father, giving us permission to voice our concern with our Father. And I think it's beautiful. He's bleeding sweat and blood and sweat, and he's crying out and he's praying alone. And he's saying, take this cup from me, but if not, let your will be done, right? No matter what, you are good. You are God. Your plan is best. Your thoughts are higher. But if there's any chance, you know, and he knew the answer. Mm-hmm. He knew what was going to happen. But he models that to give us permission to say, I don't want this. Take this cup. I don't like this. But ultimately, thy will be done. Mm-hmm. And I learned about a missionary, Elizabeth Elliot. If you don't know her, she's got a great story. And a quote from her, I don't know it exactly, but it paraphrased and spoke to me. Sometimes when you pray that his will be done, your will gets undone.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, her life was amazing. That you reading from her, you knew that's that her will got undone when she prayed that his will is done. And that's what all of ours says, whether it's, you know, dying on the cross, or whether it's your husband getting killed in mission work, or whether it's you're not getting the second child as fast as you thought, whatever it is, you're not getting the job, you're struggling through something, someone that you love just passed away, whatever it is, we have our plans, and God doesn't say it's wrong to make plans and have thoughts. But when we put those plans higher than his plans, and when we are not able to let those plans go or give him space to kind of wreck those plans, because his plans are better and they're going to be more beautiful in the end. And ultimately, our prayer in reading the word and praying and getting closer to him and finding that Christian community is that our will gets molded to be his will, and they're one in the same. And when he's, you know, making us in that clay, that we're moldable, and that we're like, okay, I give it up. And so
that's beautiful. So hard, but so beautiful. And it's okay that we go through hard things, because it reminds me that he's taking us from humanness to holiness.
That's good.
And that's hard. So we just want you to be encouraged today that there is overwhelming joy promised to the humble believer. Isaiah 66:12, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the nations like an overflowing stream. So here's something I want you to seriously stop and consider. If you are anxious and you are not experiencing his overwhelming joy and peace, what is keeping you spinning?
Mm-hmm.
Because what Maddie and I are offering you is a way to put God first, to deplete yourself and seek his deity, and open your hands and basically just say, Heavenly Father, let it be your will and not mine, in your time for your glory. And if that's just a mantra you need to put on repeat, then pray it on repeat. Your will, not my will, in your time for your glory. Just deny self and sit in the glow of your Savior. He's got this. And you're wasting precious time if you're doing anything but worshiping at the feet of your Father. We love you so. Tune in next time for when we talk about how do I remain contrite in spirit. Thank you for joining us. Maddie, thank you for being at my table. May we all continue in pursuit of more of God's presence in our lives. With God, we have the power to shift our perspective from what I am dwelling on to who I am dwelling in. I'm Paulette. Join me next time at my table for more overwhelming joy.